Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's the Rad Reality Show. That's right. You've found a place where you can talk reality TV. We have special guests all the time. But let's kick it off with our theme song.
You need to tune in every Monday at 7 p.m., Thursday and Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Welcome to the Rad Reality Show, and if you want to be part of the talk, the best way to do it is to call in. Please participate. The show won't be good without your participation. You know, interact with us and have fun. I want you guys to know the number to call in. It's 347-237-5506. So we want to hear from you. The show is for you guys.
Hey, everyone. I'm Cherry Garcia. I want to thank you for being here with us tonight on the Rad Reality Show Network for our Reality Roundtable show. Hosting with me tonight is my friend and sidekick, Paul from Minnesota. And now that it's April 24, 2014, Paul, can we assume that you're all thought out up there in Minnesota and no longer living in the great white tundra up there? How you doing tonight, Paul?
You assume correctly, and I'm doing great. The whole state of Minnesota isn't out of it yet. As a matter of fact, they're expecting up to 12 inches up in the northeastern corner of the state. We call it the Arrowhead region of Minnesota. But for me down here, it's good. We're getting kind of springtimey weather with rain and that type of thing. But at any rate, it's done as far as, at least I hope it is.
Well, I certainly hope so, too. We all deserve spring weather. We're in April now. We're past Easter. We should all have spring weather. It's been so long getting here this year. This winter seemed like forever.
Yes,
so,
I agree.
I'm glad to hear.
Yeah, I understand that you've had a little bit of weather, and as far as thunderstorms, and that's kind of springy kind of weather too, but hopefully everything is quieting down for you there now. So,
yep, it's gotten much calmer since earlier this evening, and glad that thunderstorms have passed, and they can stay gone too. But, you know, that's all part of spring. We have to get the spring showers for the May flowers, as they say. And we're in a new house that has bare yards, so I've been getting my planting preparation thoughts going because there's nothing in this yard. There's no trees. There's
really?
No flowers. No, there's nothing. I'm like, how did somebody live here for 12 years? Because the house is 12 years old.
Oh, and, my word.
And not plant anything. I would go nuts. And
how about neighbors? I mean, is it a neighborhood thing that they don't plant things, or do you stand out?
You know, the yard looks wonderful. It's a big, big yard. As a matter of fact, we have like probably the largest front yard because our house sits way back. So our next-door neighbors that we met first actually sort of made fun of our front yard and said it looked like a football field because our house sits so far back. It sits further back than anybody else's house in the subdivision. And so we've got the longest driveway and the longest front yard in the subdivision. And
Are you saying that
there's no trees, there's no flowers? You know, there's a sprinkler system that keeps the grass looking all pretty and nice.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, but there's just nothing to make it look. I mean, I'm a person that loves to have trees and flowers, and you know, my other house I had all kinds of trees and flowers and flower beds and all of that, you know. And when I came here, I just sat here and looked at this yard, and I thought, you know, I don't know how somebody lived here for 12 years and did not plant a single thing. I couldn't do it. So
yeah.
Now that I'm
so
here, the planting is on.
I was just wondering. Yeah. Well, that's good for you to have something to do, like you don't already have enough to do. But at any rate, is your front yard actually bigger than your backyard?
Probably maybe in footage a little bit, yeah.
Wow.
It might be in length. I just bought a Japanese maple for the front yard last night. And I've purchased a weeping willow tree for our backyard so far. Yet to get them in the ground, but I just got the Japanese maple last night, and the weeping willow tree for the backyard I just bought a few days ago. So we've got to get them in the ground. But we have our backyard has a bit of a slope going down, and weeping willows love to be at the bottom of a hill.
Oh.
And so a weeping willow is going to grow wonderfully out here. And I always wanted to have a weeping willow and plant it in memory of my dear friend Nick that passed away. And it will also be in memory of Ron as well.
When you say you have yet those trees, you've yet to put them in the ground, have they been delivered? Do you and Rich have to actually put them in, or will the people put them in that you bought them from?
No, we'll plant them. We'll plant them. They're small. They're kitty trees, so, yeah. They're not great big ones from the big nursery. They're small ones. So it'll take a while before they get real big, but that's okay. I plan to be here for a while.
Yeah.
Pardon
what
me?
What about flower beds? Does the house have, you know, like them built in or whatever around the house? Or what are you going to
It doesn't.
So what are you going to do?
In front of the front window, we're going to have a flower bed put in because there's, like, just foundation, like, right under the front window where you can actually see some of the foundation of the basement. And, I mean, it doesn't stick out all that badly, but to me it does because I think there should be a flower bed there. It just looks odd to me to hit. I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah, we're going to have a flower bed put in there, a stone flower bed. And I've already got a lot of hostas from my mom's house that she just sold that I salvaged out of her flower bed and brought home with me.
Oh, that was a good idea.
Yeah, wasn't going to leave them there for those to be destroyed.
Now, are you... When you say you're a gardener, are you one that will also like grow herbs and vegetables or just flowers?
Yes, and I just went to Vicki. This is such an odd story. You know Vicki Qualiata.
Yeah.
Vicki called me one night and says, Patty, do you want to go to an auction? And it was an auction in a bar.
What?
What better thought than to have an auction in a bar, go get your drink on and bid on auction items in a bar.
Well, for the people, let me just guess at something. For the people that are selling items, it's a great place because when somebody gets a little tipsy or inebriated, I would imagine they're looser with their money. You know, they probably spend more if they've had a few to drink, don't you think?
Exactly. Well, I wound up buying an antique double wash tub. I mean, one of the old ones with, you know, the old antique double wash tub. And
okay.
I'm going to make it into a planter for my back deck. And when I brought it home and showed Rich, the first thing he said was, can we put tomato plants in it? And, you know, my first thought was I was going to have flowers in it, you know. So I haven't decided yet whether I'm going to actually put tomatoes in one side and herbs in the other side, or if I'm going to use it as a flower pot, as I had originally thought. But it's going to be one or the other. I just can't wait to see it on my back deck. And I told Yaya, I just came in the room, I told her I'm going to take pictures of it from beginning to end before I put anything in it, and then midway through the process and finished product, my DIY project, as you will. But, yeah, we do plant. We love homegrown tomatoes, and fortunately we have a farm not far from here that has a roadside stand that we buy all kinds of farm products from. They have a huge farm that they sell tomatoes and all your produce on a little stand right next to the road all summer long, and so we can always get them there. But we like to grow them at home as well, so if I can grow some at home and then supplement anything I have to buy from the farm, I'll do that. So we'll see what winds up in my wash tub. I haven't decided yet, but yes, we do plant. At my old house before it burnt down, I had just purchased 3 of the things that you put together to have above ground planting beds. And of course I lost those. But I had just started getting ready to have above ground planting beds for my garden. And I don't know if I'm ready to go back out and buy new ones. This yard is so pretty, I hate to mess it up with a big garden because it just looks so nice. You know, it's got the sprinkler system all the way through it, and I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to dig a big garden in this yard or not, but we'll see.
Speaking of auctions, it just triggered that you had mentioned that Jordan had some of Ron's stuff on eBay. I was just kind of trying to find a link. Did you ever find the link to wherever she's selling these items, or is she selling or auctioning? I forget.
It's an eBay auction, and you can go to eBay and look for her as a seller. It's Jordan Rad is the seller name that she's selling them under. So if you go to eBay and search for the seller named Jordan Rad, you'll find the items that she's selling. And be able to find anything that Jordan is selling that way. And I believe I posted that in the group page.
The link or the information?
The information.
Okay.
I'll put it in the chat room as well.
Yeah.
It's Jordan Rad.
I wonder if there's a space. Let me do a search.
No,
again
there isn't.
Here. Because I get a search and I get Air Jordan. And, I mean, it's not trying to find.
You have to go to, I believe on eBay you have to do what's called a advanced search and click on search by seller.
Okay, that makes sense. I'll see if I can find that and let's see, all categories, search by seller. Anyway, I thought because you brought that up, I would make a mention of that as well. It's just, you know, I'm pretty good. I'm not on eBay a lot, but I'm pretty good at finding things, and it's taken me a while as we're talking to see if I can find her actual site. So
I can go on and find it.
Yeah, but what we'll do just for the listeners is we'll post the actual link to her page so it's easier for people to get to if, you know, they're not able to do it the eBay searching method. What is your color there, Cherry? I just noticed the chat room. You're not back to red, and you're not St. Louis Blues blue. You're just kind of black.
I haven't changed my color. I haven't.
Yeah, that was a heck of a game. I watched. I hadn't watched full games a lot in the hockey games, and I was watching your game against Chicago last night, and I thought for sure. I mean, I don't get my hopes up, but I was thinking St. Louis has this. It was. I know it didn't turn out the way you would like it, but I think you have to admit that was a pretty good game.
That one was for the calendar, which is already gone, but that will take
what?
You to that.
Oh, you're not responding to me. Okay, you posted a link. I thought you were responding to my comment.
And you can click follow and see her other items.
So basically for those listening or podcasters, it would be www.ebay.com/USR, which is, I guess is short for user. So ebay.com/USR/JORDANRAD, Jordan Rad.
There
for
you
those
go.
That are listening and aren't seeing the chat to
the
click
link
on.
In the chat room.
But,
right.
The game was...
they're coming back here. And
yes.
Such a tight, tight game. And I don't think it would be if we had all of our players playing. We have so many out on the injured list. And
absolutely.
It's just so hard to watch. But I'm still behind
I'm
my boys
saying,
in blue.
Oh, I know you are. I'm just saying as a person who Chicago fans... Don't hate me, but I certainly am pulling for the Blues. Chicago had it last year. Let's share the wealth, people. But as somewhat of an impartial viewer, it was a good game. And there's been, I mean, I don't see Thomas in there, but he's a Columbus Blue Jackets fan. And holy cow, that series is crazy against Pittsburgh. I think every game... The eventual winner had been down, like the score had been 3-1, and the team with the one ended up coming back and winning 4-3. It's just, you know, and going into overtime. But we're playing right now, the Wild are, and we're down 2-1, and we need to win this big time to tie it up. I hate to go down 3-1 going back to Colorado. We did score. Update. We did score early in our game, and we're up 1-0. Hopefully, that hasn't changed since I paused my DVR. Fast forwarding. 4 minutes left. 3 minutes left. anyway, there are some really tight races. I think San Jose is the only one that is kind of blowing things out. But most other series are pretty competitive and pretty exciting for the first round.
Before Ben calls in, I just asked Yaya in the chat room. Tori Spelling has had her life sort of in a reality show for many years. My heart is breaking for her right now. The first episode of her new show just started last night.
Right, and let me, I don't watch that show, but I don't want to sound cynical or conspiracy or anything like that, but before the new season even, or the new show even aired, I saw clips of a part of that premiere show on several news outlets, you know, where they talked about it, you know, on Eat Entertainment Tonight and things like that, and it showed them in counseling and all this. Do you think that's for real, or do you think it's to get viewers? I don't want to sound cynical, but you tell me how you feel, because you've watched it, right?
I think it's real.
Oh, dear.
I think it's real. She opened the show. If you watch the very first episode, she says that, you know, she has always fought having her voice, always fought having, you know, the nepotism and just being herself, trying to be herself. And because she was Tori Spelling's daughter,
yeah,
she always
yeah.
had such a hard time with, you know, people saying, oh, you were given this and you were given that and you achieved this because of that and, you know, da-da-da. And so she's always had such a hard time trying to, you know, say, I achieved this on my own, or I didn't get this because of who I am. I worked for this, or, you know,
yeah.
Everything wasn't because I'm Tori Spelling, you know. And so that was one of the reasons why she started doing a reality TV show, because she wanted this to say, you know, I want to have my voice and show who I truly am. And when she opened last night's show, she explained from her heart, just her sitting on a couch, and it said she's allowing two cameras to follow her for this reality show.
Is this a different – what's her past reality? Is this like a different
– Yeah, this
named?
Is a different show. This is True Tori. This is not the show that her and Dean were doing before. And it was actually an article that went out that Dean was really pissed that his name is not anywhere involved in this reality show. And – it isn't. It's, he's not in the contract. He's not in the title. He's not, you know, this is True Tori. It's all about her this time. And
okay. She
opens, she's sitting cross-legged on the couch, and she opens up and says, I'm doing this because the tabloids came out with all kinds of stories when they first got wind about Dean cheating on me. And they came out with every story imaginable that, you know, we set this all up because we needed the money and, you know, this was done because of this and this and this and this and this. She goes, every story was told that you could think of. The only reason I'm doing this show is to get my voice back.
Right.
And to tell the true story. And to let my fans hear the true story from me so that they know what's really going on.
Right.
And so that's how the show was opened. And I believe it. I really do.
Okay.
No,
I like I kind of set it up, my question I set it up, I really don't follow it, but, you know, there are those shows and people that you wonder if controversy is their way of, you know, getting viewership. But that's why I wanted to let you speak to it, and it sounds like it was quite genuine and believable, and that they're having a – now, have they not been together in a long time, and how many kids do they have? I mean, that's the added
part.
They
have four kids.
No?
Four kids, and really feel bad for her. Dean cheated, and her agent called her and said, you know, just got wind of somebody that's going to a reporter and saying that, you know, she had a two-night stand with Dean, and the story could break, you know. But
yeah.
Tori didn't believe it. She's like, you know, oh, great.
Well,
you know, here we go with another, you know, person wanting attention. And
right.
She looked at Dean and said, you know, oh, great, who'd you sleep with when you were in Canada, and fully expecting that it to be untrue. And
yeah.
At first he denied it, and they were getting ready to take their kids to a Christmas play that their kids were in, two of their kids were in. And she got a call back from her agent, and the agent said, the story is going to go in this magazine. The girl is giving her name, and it's going to break, you know, in 1 week, and here's the girl's name. And so Tori took Dean outside and said, you know, I want to talk to you about this. I've got the girl's name, da-da-da. And he continued to deny it, but his right eyebrow was quivering, and she said, why is your eyebrow quivering, you know? And she said, in all the years I've known you, I've never seen your eyebrow quiver, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, I knew right then that he was lying. And so they went on to the play. She said the whole time she had this feeling in her gut that, you know, everyone
was
going to know in 1 week that her life was a complete lie, that, you know, her life was upside down, and, you know, the whole time they're filming our kids, you know, looking like a happy family, and
right. Well, that's what I was about ready to ask you. In her previous reality shows, did you have the impression it was a good marriage and everything was happy? I mean, is this a shocker to you too?
It is. I mean, they did seem very happy and very committed to each other. And, I mean, things weren't always perfect, but they did seem very committed. Now, I will say that, you know, the way those two got together, and this is something that's been talked about on The Talk and other places as well, they were both in other relationships when they met and started seeing each other.
Oh,
and
okay.
Karma has a way of coming back and biting you in the ass. And I have to respect Tori in the utmost way for even pondering the thought of trying to work on this relationship. And because, I mean, if my husband went out and cheated on me, I don't think I would have the wherewithal to even say, you know, let's work on it. Ben's on our switchboard, and he only has a few minutes, so let's switch gears, talk about Survivor with Ben, and we might go back and touch on Tori and Dean a little bit more. Let's bring up our boom, boom room, Ben.
Hello.
Hello. Is this thing on?
Check.
Do you have your tin can and your string in your hand?
Check. Yeah. Actually, I use foam coffee cups because they work better.
Yeah, but they're not recyclable, so you know.
I know, but could you imagine if we had those as kids, Paul? Go for miles. You get a piece of fishing string, like 20-pound test, you know, like the 1,000-yard spool, and then.
Well, Ben, it's so good to hear you and back on the show and wondering what's been going on. It's been a while.
Yes, I've been very busy. Apparently, Obama fixed the economy, so thanks, Obama.
Well, it's a good busy.
Yes. Yeah. No, it is. It's been a rough few years, and you know, things are coming back around, and you know, getting caught up on past due bills and taxes and all other good stuff like that. And actually, you know, have a little bit of money left over to buy a few toys here and there. So.
Oh, hey, great! You want to pay some of mine?
Ah, well, hey, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens. So. When I get my first million, you know, all my friends are going to get something nice. So, but, you know, that may be a little bit.
Let me start on my wish list. Damn.
So I posted, they have this game, I guess, called Throwback Thursday on Facebook. And I'm way out of the loop with Facebook, but I, you know, people have bugged me about it. And so you ought to do it. So I went on and did it last week. Last Thursday night, actually, I loaded up like 50-something pictures, and then I logged out and, you know, stayed away for a week as I always do, actually, and logged in tonight. Had like 173 messages.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because there was like, you know, several of the pictures had like dozens of likes and comments, and it was really cool. I mean, I posted stuff from like 5 years to 35 years in, you know, in the past. So there was some really interesting pictures from way back.
All right. I'm curious.
My Instamatic pictures.
There were what?
My Instamatic pictures. My Kodak.
Oh, boy, I remember those.
You know, yeah. If you look, I didn't tag me, but if you look through them, you will find me in there from a long, long time ago. So I'm going to leave it until sooner or later somebody will go, oh, my God, is that you? And then I'll go, yes, you win 100 free internet.
I mean, talking about, you know, dating ourselves to know what Instamatic pictures are, or how about brownies? You guys know what a brownie is?
Yeah, I actually have one of those. Never used it, but I've got one. I don't remember. I think I got it from my grandfather, and I think it actually has film still inside of it. So I don't know who develops that, but it's in box somewhere in the barn.
That is a good question too. I was over at my with my parents on Easter, and my mom said Dad was going through his drawer and he found a camera that he really liked, but now that you got him that digital camera a few years ago, he doesn't want it anymore. And I thought to myself, and I don't know if either of you can answer, if you can still buy film, and if you can, you know, well, if you can buy film, you should be able to develop it, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's rare, but every big city's got somebody who will develop it. Actually, even in Dover, you know, 10 miles from my house, or less than that even, about 8 miles, there's a place that will develop old film, because I brought a roll of Kodak. It was strange. He called it like half-frame film or something. It was from Stamp, 1972, and I brought that in, and they developed them right up, and it was like $17, worth every penny. It was like 38 pictures. I was in like two of them. As a very young person, and it was just cool to see, you know. So, there are places where you can buy the film still. There are definitely places where you can get it developed. You just gotta look, you know. I actually had to research it. I did find the Dover one. It's the only one I found. I'm sure there's others, but it's the only one I found local to me. But back to the throwback Thursday real quick. I posted 53 more pictures tonight.
Oh, my.
I was trying to answer the pictures from last week, but I couldn't because the Facebook kept going ding, 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 ding. Last time I checked it, it was like 90. Actually, it's at 98 now. So, because I got to open it up here. But,
everybody that's listening, go to Ben's Facebook and start commenting and liking. And
Yeah. Okay. I had to shut the stereo off. Well, I had to shut stereo off anyways because, you know, we're talking. But, did you guys discuss Evil Vic on TMZ?
I didn't see him on TMZ, but I saw his picture on Twitter. What the hell happened to him?
That's what happens when you text. That's what happens when you text a moped.
Hey, come on.
That what happened?
Texting while driving the moped.
Wait. Tell me what's going on here.
Oh, you didn't
Fill
see it? It made the TMZ. It made the actual TMZ. Wiped out on a moped somewhere in Ireland, where I guess he has apparently moved to.
Yeah, he moved to Ireland.
Yeah, he says
about a month ago.
Anything. She woke up in the hospital and said, you know, what the hell?
His eye looks really bad. He just tweeted not long ago. That's going to leave a mark.
His eye
looks pretty bad.
I bet. I was like, whoa. You know, but yeah, he had to be texting and driving. It does not mix. In fact, I posted a video on my Facebook about two or three weeks ago now. My neighbor got run over right up front of my house Sunday evening. A few weeks ago, he was pulling into his driveway, and a Ford F-150 pickup truck never even hit the brakes, just slammed right into the trailer that he was hauling on the back of his little Toyota Corolla, which had a Husqvarna snowblower on it. And this thing's a beast. It looked like a NASCAR accident. Pieces and parts flying everywhere. The snowblower tumbling down the side of the road like an engine block out of a NASCAR, like tumbling end over end. And jumping up in the air, it was sick. Everyone was fine. Everybody survived, you know, but what an accident. It's on my Facebook. Go and comment and post.
I think I saw that one.
Yeah.
Lots of action on Ben's Facebook page. Go to Ben Holder.
AKA Boom 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 Ben. Hey, you know, I tried to rename myself. You know how some people on Facebook put these little one of the little curves to the side that they make smiley faces out of? Apostrophes? Not apostrophes.
Yeah.
But you know the little curve above the 8 and 9?
All right.
Anyways, I tried to put Ben and then Boom Boom Room, Holder, right? Facebook blocked it, said you cannot use this name. You cannot, you know. So I tried just writing Boom. Facebook blocks the word Boom. You cannot use Boom on Facebook. What's up with that?
No kidding.
We need to get Seinfeld on this.
What's up with that?
Speaking of Seinfeld, when I was logging into Facebook, Christina Cha from Survivor was posting a picture of her and Penner and some other people at some event in L.A., And I wrote on the comment down below, I wrote Penner with exclamation points, and I wrote, keep an eye out for rickshaws, because as we know, he's the guy that gets run over by the rickshaw on the final episode of Seinfeld there. Well, I don't think, was that the final episode? Or maybe that wasn't the final, but, you know, the one where Newman and Kramer get rickshaws, and then at the very end. It's the book, too. George with the book. He goes in the bathroom. They're like, well, you have to buy the book
now. Yeah.
He couldn't get rid of the book. You know, it was flagged all over town. This book has been in the bathroom.
Right.
That was one of the greatest episodes, you know. Stuff is so relevant. It's 20 years old, and it's still so relevant, you know. I love Seinfeld.
That was a great episode, too.
Yeah, that was. And you know what's funny? I've seen it twice in the past 6 months. I just happened to tune in just in time. One night, it was actually, Penner was walking out. He's like, hey, what a great day. The rest of my life in front of me. And all of a sudden, bam, it's all over. Yeah. Like, oh, God. So, speaking of Penner, you guys still watching Survivor?
Absolutely.
Of course.
What do you think? What do you think?
There's lots of thoughts, but I am enjoying it. For once, I actually picked somebody fairly early in the season that I liked, that is doing pretty well.
Nice.
That happens to be Tony.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Tony's kind of growing on me, you know. I at first wasn't a huge fan, but after a while, you know, it is kind of fun to watch him scramble.
I just think I enjoy when I see somebody working hard, or at least, you know, maybe the other people are as well, but we just don't see it on the edits.
Yeah.
But I just enjoy seeing him working hard with his strategy and coming up with, you know, different things. I mean, in the last episode, I thought, how cool was it that he built his little spy shack? I mean, you know, I'm impressed by. You know, not always his personality, you know,
right.
Sometimes comes across a little too
abrasive,
too big.
Yeah, yeah. That's what was hard for me to get past. You know, he's just, you know, his personality. Other than that, you know, and actually once I get to know him, you know, I understand.
And,
you know,
and then a couple of weeks ago, at least, I made a comment, and Jerry, you probably remember, that I was really starting to grow on Spencer. I mean, initially I thought that whole Brains tribe was going to be totally in.
Wiped out.
Yeah, what was I going to extinct? I was looking
pretty
for
much.
Dinosaurs.
Pretty
and
much.
He started impressing me, and I thought, okay, he's going far, and then there was. Right after I thought that, it looked like he was about ready to get voted off. But how about you, Cherry? Which I know LJ was one of your favorites.
Oh, no.
I'm telling you, as soon as I say out loud who I'm rooting for.
So you're not going to tell us.
They're out the door. So I'm keeping it to myself now because I'm just not going to jinx these poor souls anymore.
Oh, no.
Is it a female or a male or a combination? Or, no.
A combination of
Are there any of those on the island?
I don't think so.
Hey, and why not? And why? How? Why is? What's up, Survivor? How come they never had? Whatever they call us, transsexual, transvestites, or whatever
right.
they are. How come they never had one of those, you know? What's up? Wake up, Survivor.
What's up with that?
What is up with that? I can't.
No.
I think that a female might win it this year, but as soon as I say that,
You just dinked somebody.
Ben, I don't know about you, but I'm hearing Sherry kind of measuring her words, trying not to say anything for fear she's going to dink something.
I know. Yeah, I think it's too late now.
I want to say it, but I'm afraid to say it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had
jinxed these poor people right off the island.
You got a pretty powerful vote there, Cherry.
All right, who don't you want to see win? I'll name them, and they'll be off next week.
There you go. Oh, speaking of powerful, holy smokes, how about that idol?
I know.
Wow, well, I want one of those.
I had heard about that before the season started. It was
really?
On, I think, it was on the, you know, TV Guide Network does a Survivor preview, and then Jeff comes on and he says who he thinks you're going to do well and not well, and that's when he brought up that there was an actor friend after last season's finale that came up to him and suggested to have an idol like that, and so I knew that it was going to come into play. That is powerful.
Oh, yeah, that's all. I mean, wow. As soon as he said that, I'm like, oh, my God, that changes the game, you know?
Well, how do you think – what do you think about the way Tony brought the package out of his little bag of tricks, as he calls it?
I was getting scared. I didn't know what he was doing. I'm like, why are you taking that out, dude? You don't have to take it out until the votes are in. What the hell
and
are you doing?
Told everyone that it was a fake idol and put it away.
I wonder if
you think the rest of his team is going to question him?
I don't know. See, that I was confused because at first I'm thinking he's just spaced out and he's like, oh, I better take this out and let people I know I got it. And then it's almost like he caught himself and said, oh, this is a fake idol, you know. So I'm wondering if he screwed up. Or if he just meant to do that to spike everybody out, you know.
I'm not sure because of the editing, but when he first pulled it out and you saw the little caption, you know, the subtitles show up, Jeffra made a comment, kind of whispered, it's not real.
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant.
The only way she would have said that is, I'm guessing, is that maybe Tony, didn't make the edit. That Tony had told some of his alliance members that he had a fake idol.
Oh, right.
Or another possibility is maybe he was smart enough to actually make a fake one to throw around and sort of show to people, say, I'm going to, fake people out and make a fake idol.
True, because I never saw the one he dug up. He threw it in his pocket so fast. So
he might have actually even told his tribe mates, I'm going to make a fake idol to mess with people tonight. And
right.
Or
made
possible.
One in front of them even and let them in on it. And then pulled it out at Tribal and actually has a fake idol that he's playing around with in his bag of tricks, as he calls it.
Yeah, that's great.
Well,
I love that thing.
That's the other thing. That it's very subtle, but it's just one piece of several pieces of his strategy when this was the second week in a row he has mentioned that he's got a bag of tricks that he will unleash, and he plants that question mark in people's heads, and I kind of like that kind of gameplay.
Yeah, well, it puts a big target on you, so.
Well, that's true.
I mean, he knows he's all set, but, he's all set one time.
I don't know. I've got another question, a different subject on Survivor, but it popped into my head watching last night's episode. You know how during these competitions, or several of them, where Jeff is kind of coaching them? Not only that, he seems – I'm wondering, do you think that Jeff himself ever tries some of these competitions to know how to handle it, or –
He's got to try. I mean, probably not as much as he used to, but I bet you he has, you know. I bet you he has. And maybe once or twice a season he does. For the most part, he's probably just like, it's a job. Let's go to work. You know,
I ask both of you. I know Cherry follows, you know, has watched, you know, his Twittering and, you know, in past seasons and stuff, and I was just wondering if that ever came up.
Yeah, geez, I don't know. I've got him on my Twitter, too, but I only check it, like, once every 4 or 5 months, so I don't, I'm even worse on Twitter than I am on Facebook. No. I'm one of those people, did you see the study that came out last month? 48% of all Twitter accounts are dormant, meaning 6 months or more of non-use. That's kind of sad, you know.
I have a question for you, Ben.
What?
What do you think Philip Shepherd thought of Tony's Spy Shack?
Oh, my God. I bet you $50 he ran out in his backyard and reconstructed it from scratch. He was probably like, oh, pause that. I'll be right back. former federal special investigative agent for the Department of Defense. All those words. I think it's like 8, 9 words. So, I mean, that is one hell of a title. It's too bad he drove me crazy, you know.
I had to ask you.
We could have been contenders.
I know you've
he could have been a contender.
Had some contact with Philip Shepherd, and
yeah.
I thought about him when I saw him right in a building that shack, and I thought, I bet you that Philip Shepherd wishes he would have thought of that.
I know. Instead of running around in his red underwear doing the air kicks, I'm going to kick a little ass around.
I bet he wishes he would have thought about making a spy shack as a special federal agent.
Yeah, as interesting as it was, it's so nice to see a season with absolutely nobody I know, you know. That is kind of cool. At first I was thinking, oh, man, I hope this isn't boring, but it is.
Yep.
No, it's really cool, I think. Cause, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the All-Star seasons, you know, and I hope they continue. But for a while there was like 8 of them in a row or something, you know.
I know,
yeah.
I know.
I was like, oh, my God, if I see one more Hans, you know.
We just had Willie on Monday.
Oh, did you?
He wasn't one of the ones on Survivor, but, yeah, Willie just called in and talked to us on Monday.
For those people that might not have heard Monday, it was, you know, might look back on podcasts and listen, it was heavy into Big Brother Canada. We had a bunch of surprise contestants, both from last season and this season, and then all of a sudden an unknown caller pops up, and Cherry, you've seen me do this before, so I got to watch you, but you went off the air into the screening room and was talking to this phone call, and you were there, you were there, you were there, and I thought, who is she talking to? Willie just out of the blue, he thought, oh, I haven't been on the Rad Reality Show for a while. I'm gonna call in, and it was a total joy, wasn't it, Cherry?
Nice.
Oh, my gosh. He has changed
evolved,
so much
grown.
From when he was Big Brother, and just grown so much from his experience on that show. And I absolutely adore Willie. And he will, you know, say, and he said it on air on Monday, if you get a chance and you weren't there for the show, you haven't listened to it yet, that is a show I recommend going back and listening to. He actually talked about, you know, his time on Big Brother, and he said, you know, sometimes you have to be humble and admit your mistakes. And he goes, and I made a mistake. I acted like a fool. And I've learned from it. I use that learning lesson as a tool in my everyday life. Every day now, I understand that I have, you know, a problem with anger, and now when something upsets me, I step back and I think before I act.
Yep.
And it's been such a learning experience for me, and he really opened up and talked about it, and I just commend him so much for the way he has grown. And just, he doesn't mind speaking his truth on, you know, any topic and admitting, you know, his faults and admitting that he's, you know, grown from it and continues today to grow from it. And he's just a wide open book, and I just adore him.
I think he's like the most stable one of the three, you know.
By far.
And Russell and Willie. I think, you know, even though he headbutted Joe, I still think he's kind of like the most stable one of the three, you know.
The other dynamic of that show was it was a return of Suzette Amaya's Slice of BB Canada. And so Suzette was on, and she brought on Danielle from her season. And then we got one of my favorite people that's on Big Brother this season was Sarah. And Sarah, she's just been out like a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks. And even if you aren't watching Big Brother Canada, you still know about Big Brother. And listening to her, Willie was just floored at her look on her experience. And it was a joy to hear those two talk. And she was so excited because she was a fan of Willie's. And she said, I can't wait.
Huh.
She says, I can't wait to get off the phone and tell my kids I got to talk with Willie. Remember that, Sherry?
Yep. And he was so impressed by Sarah. And,
yes.
You know, the grace that she spoke with. And
could be
he
a little
said, I can't believe that you just got out of the house and you're speaking so gracefully. And, you know, you don't have the anger and the issues and all of that that most people coming out of the Big Brother house have. And so, yeah, it was really a great dynamic on the show on Monday. So if you haven't listened to that show, I recommend going back and checking it out. It was a lot of fun having, as Paul said, you know, the people from Big Brother Canada. And then out of the blue, Willie Hance calls in, and we have him on with the Big Brother Canada women. And just
and
our beautiful host. And sort of an odd dynamic, but it worked. It was such a cool show, and I got off that day.
All the reality shows are cool.
And it was just one of those shows that when it ended, I just had a big smile on my face. I love those.
Yeah.
It was just one of those.
I know exactly what you mean. I've had a few myself.
Yeah. It was certainly one of those.
I hate to eat and run, but I've got a few more homework things I got to get done, and I've got a very early morning for a Friday. Usually Fridays I like to go to work around 9. Tomorrow will be around 7, so that's going to be extremely painful and distressing. And I have to work till 7, so I've got a 12-hour day to boot. And then I may have to go out nightclubbing tomorrow night, so should be interesting.
Damn the luck.
Should be, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a coffee brandy night if I do go out drinking, you know.
To keep you awake.
You got to have that caffeine.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Well, you know, I sometimes once I get going, I'm okay. But, 12-hour days.
Just don't make it on TMZ. That's all I ask.
No.
Or jail.
I think the closest I got to that was either at Toys for Tots with JoJo and Porsche, or maybe it was at the Big Brother premiere last summer in Manhattan, again with JoJo and her sister Francesca. I think that was about the closest I got to getting on TMZ. And I won't go into details, but it was a wonderful time. And had TMZ seen us, we would have been on TMZ. So maybe next time. When does BB start this year?
It's June again, isn't it? Like the 26th or
the 25th. The 25th.
25th, okay, because I'm going to Manhattan for the premiere party again. You guys should come. It's fun.
Get that
jet down here for me, and I'll be there.
Yeah, I'll send the driver.
I think, I'm pretty sure, because I think Adam came on one of Suzette's Monday show when Suzette, isn't Suzette going to the premiere as well, Cherry? Did I remember that correctly?
Are those BB Canadas?
She might be.
Supposed to show up last year, and they didn't.
All I remember is thinking, "Oh my God, she's all the way on the other side of the continent, and she's actually planning to come to Adam's premiere party."
Wow.
I thought that's a Big Brother, fan to do that. But
yeah.
Do we know? Speaking of, and I know you got to go, Ben, but you just brought up JoJo, and I'm wondering, do we know how she's doing, Cherry or Ben?
Doing much better. She's doing much better.
I do, but I can't really say too much right now. But she will be coming on our show when she's ready to talk.
Cool.
Well,
the comment of she's doing better is enough. You don't have to go into any more than that. I'm happy to hear those words.
Yeah. Oh, it's cool. She just came up on my screensaver, too. That's awesome. Although there's like probably 18 pictures of her on my screensaver, so I guess it's not that.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, she is. I love JoJo. She's like probably my favorite BB-er from New York, and I know a bunch of them. So it was great catching up again with you guys. I do have about a half hour's work before I can go to bed, so I got to get that done. But I will. I'm trying to get in some Sunday night. You're still doing the Amazing Race show, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, are you watching?
I am. I have missed a couple, but I'll tape them and watch them during the week.
I'll tell you when you want to call in, Ben. The weekend when we get down to the final four, I know who our guest is going to be, and that's the weekend that you want to call in.
Okay. Just post on my Facebook like you did tonight, because that'll work. I mean, I'm horrible with Facebook, but I will try to check it at least once a week, usually on Thursdays, no less. So if the post is there, then, I know where I'm going to be at 10 o'clock. So.
Okay.
So feel free to post. Post any show you want, but, obviously Monday nights, Monday nights I end up working until 9 o'clock. So, it's very rare that I'm out Monday before 9. Sometimes I am, but it's very rare.
The guest she's going to have for the week of the Final Four is going to be big.
Nice.
So
we'll be there.
That's the one that you want to be at.
I will be there with my Amazing Race shirt on.
All right. Well, thanks. You take care. Get some rest, Anna.
Will do. And I'll call you.
Appreciate you
calling
in.
Over the weekend. I'll give you a call over the weekend, Cherry. Just want to catch up on a few things with you. So I'll do that over the weekend. Paul, stay
awesome.
Stay warm. It's 44 here, so it can't be too balmy there. But it was nice talking to you guys. So I love
all right,
you.
Take care,
you all,
love
you
all.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye, Ben.
Anyway, my mind just went 100 different places when you teased us with who Mary was going to have on, and probably went too far because in my head I thought, oh, my God, is she going to – no, I'm not going to say it. are we still talking Survivor? Because you just finished mentioning Amazing Race, and oh, my God. I'm just curious of what your thoughts are about Brendan and Rachel and what they did. Or do you not want to talk about Amazing Race right now?
We can talk about it. What are your thoughts?
I try to understand how other people, other teams view it, but it totally made sense to me. And I know that Rachel struggled a little bit with the strategy of you know, U-turning David and Connor, but it made total sense to me. And I think David is getting a little cranky. I mean,
yeah.
I remember in that fill up the taxi cab gasoline challenge, I thought, oh my goodness, he's getting a little feisty. And it's not like they were going to be eliminated from the race. I mean, that is the main thing in my mind. You're still in the race. Don't worry about it, you know? It didn't put them out of the race, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I didn't have any problem with it.
I guess I would have preferred I saw the logical reasoning behind using it on Dave and Connor. I did. I certainly saw the logic behind it.
And I love those two
Although,
guys.
I do love Dave and Connor. I would have loved to have seen it used on a stronger contender for the final three, a.k.a. Jet and Cord or the Afghanimals.
Yeah.
I think both of those are stronger contenders to make it to the final three than Dave and Connor are. In all actuality, I think they have a much stronger chance at winning than Dave and Connor do. Therefore, if you're going to use a U-turn, I just think, you know, use it on somebody that's going to be
going
to possibly take you out in the end.
Right. Here's the thing that it was. It was a short-term thing. It was only, they were only basing it on they wanted to come in first.
Right.
For that leg. It was, there was no strategy
for long term.
Long term, exactly. And I had not thought about that. That's a good point, Sherry. How about the second U-turn? Jet and Cord seemed surprised that Dave and Connor didn't U-turn them, but how hard would it be to have the team that you're U-turning standing right behind you?
I know.
I mean, that would have made great TV, though. I mean, it would have been awesome for them to be standing there and Dave and Connor turn around and say, sorry, guys.
That would have been perfect.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. It's getting down to it, and I'm anxious to see how this amazing race turns out. I really am. It's getting down to the wire, and it's
so
going to be an interesting finish.
Yeah, and how many teams could you say, you could really say there's good four, maybe five teams that could possibly, you know, get to the end?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't really rule out anybody for that matter. I mean, maybe, you know, Jennifer and Caroline, I mean, I think they're just adorable, and I love their whole attitude, but they really don't show that they're, you know, one of the stronger teams. But they
right.
do have good relationships, and they have their social game and their, you know, alliances and everything like that seem to be helping them. But that can't last when you get into the, you know, down to the nitty gritty. You're on
well,
your own.
As
man.
We talked about on Sunday nights, one of the biggest things in this, you know, in the Amazing Race is the notes that you take on every leg of the race, because that final leg, final challenge, is going to involve something that you did from every leg of the race, every one of them, whether it be the flags or the currency or something.
The greeting, the foreign language greeting, or
I don't know if they've ever done the greeting. Maybe they'll do that this year. But they've asked for something that that involved every leg that they did. And you have to do them in order. And so your note-taking skills have to be impeccable. And I just don't know if the girls, Jennifer
and Caroline.
You know, I don't know if they've, you know, been paying attention and taking those impeccable notes. You know, but who knows? They could surprise us in the end. We don't know who's taking those notes.
Yeah.
Somebody could pull out and really surprise us in the end, and we could find out that they have been taking those notes. It's one of those things that when it gets down to it, that final challenge is the one that can really trip up a team that's been strong all the way through the race, and they get to that final challenge, and if that's the one they struggle on, it take them out of the race.
Here's something that I think I can assume with pretty much certainty is Brendan and Rachel have been taking notes. Jet and Court have been taking notes. Leo and Jamal have been taking notes. I mean, all three of them have been in that position on their seasons. So they know. You know, they seem to be the teams that I would be willing to bet you have been taking notes. My other question is, and I don't know if you have ever heard the answer to this, I wish Mary was on, but when you do take those notes, can you pull them out at that challenge, or do you have to have memorized them?
Oh, I don't know you're allowed to have your notes. I don't recall ever seeing anybody actually referring to notes during that challenge, but that's a great – we'll have to ask Mary that on Sunday night. And that's the wonderful thing about having someone like Mary as our host. She can give us those little bits of information, those insights that, you know, nobody else can give us. She's an all-star. You know,
she
raced
she
in the very first all-star season, and she has all of those answers that nobody else can give us. You know, she knows all that, and I'm sure she'll be able to answer that question in a heartbeat.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I'm sure she would be able to. And here's something I just noticed. We were talking about, you know, how Brendan and Rachel are doing. And the word is that the after show that they do every Thursday night on Big Brother Canada, every Thursday night after the live eviction, they have a half hour, what they call the Big Brother sideshow. And next week, on the sideshow, Rachel is going to be on.
That's awesome. Rachel is everywhere right now. She's in Hollywood right now, I think. She's going to be in some magazine, I believe.
What
I saw that
for what?
On Twitter. I'll have to get more info on it. And bring it on Monday. or tomorrow night. Not tomorrow night. Sunday night. Gosh, I don't even know what night it is. I'm too tired, Paul.
Yeah. No,
it's been a rough week.
I knew that from your call we weren't doing a show Easter Sunday for the Amazing Race, so I put off watching it. I thought, okay, somebody's going to spill it to me anyway about, you know, the finish. So I did go on my DVR and looked at the finish, so I knew that, you know, who came in first and who was eliminated. But just today, this afternoon, I watched the full episode, so it was really fresh in my mind, and I thought it was a beautiful place to have the leg there in Italy. I thought there was a lot. It was just a good episode.
Yeah, it was.
The other thing, kind of jumping around here, but we had two shows that we normally talk about a lot, back to Survivor. The next week on Survivor, I'm going to ask you what your opinion is, because of the edits we often get teased. Do you think the hint of Tony and Spencer joining forces is true, or just a bullshit tease, so to speak?
That's a hard one. You know, they like to give us those little teasers that often are just that, teasers, and don't actually come to fruition. They just sort of rile us up and make us believe one thing, and it actually goes another direction. But with that one, that's hard to say. Because Tony is sort of in trouble with the antics that he's pulling. His wheels are always spinning, and he does have a problem with anxiety and I just don't know. He might do it. Spencer has a good way.
Yes.
Of very calmly.
Very logical,
getting people to listen to him. And he may convince Tony to work with him. Spencer's good.
The funny part of bringing up Tony's personality, I mean, it was front and center when he got upset that I think it was Trish that wanted to go. I said, I'll talk all day long with you strategy. I'm just going to go get some papaya right now. And he flipped out.
Papaya
and
lime. I know.
Yes. I mean, he flipped out because they were going to delay talking strategy. I mean, he's constantly working that game. And the other thing I thought about Jeffra in that episode, I thought, okay, for sure she's going over to the other side, and then all of a sudden she's back again. I thought, what a flip-flopper. What, you know, Big Brother, floater.
Yep.
But
I wonder how Wu's butt feels after that fall.
You know, when I want to ask you what you thought. He was, you know, rolling on the ground, and then he said, my butt, and then he kind of rolled over. Did it not look like there was a stick or a twig that was impaled in his butt? Did you see that?
It did, yes.
I thought, no kidding, it's hurting. You got a stick stabbed in your behind.
Oh, my gosh. Have you noticed the shoes that he's wearing?
I did. In fact, it was like three weeks ago or something, they were all out. Oh, remember, it was like that pyramid thing. They were all on these floating pyramids in the ocean, and they had to put a foot down on lower small footholds and then move up, and they finally had to go up to the very top. And, of course, every one of these competitions, it seems like every one of them, well, just in time, Jeff says, just in time, here comes this strong gust of wind. You know?
Yep.
Or
it's
starting
I actually have
rain.
A pair of those shoes.
Do you
and
really?
I'll tell you
but
what, I do.
I saw
those are made for climbing.
Well, what I was going to say is I thought it was almost unfair. I remember seeing him wearing those for that competition that I just described to you, and everybody else was, like, in bare feet or whatever, and I thought that almost doesn't seem fair. It almost seems like they're like socks almost. So what are they like?
They're the most incredible things for climbing and being in the environment he's in. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw everybody going on Survivor wearing those soon, because they
All
are
right,
the
Jerry.
Perfect shoe for that show.
When,
each
when,
toe
when did you
is
climb?
Individual.
When did you, but you said you have a pair. Tell me, what kind of climbing were you doing that you had bought those? Back in the day, or? I'm sorry, that blew me away that you had climbing shoes.
I just thought they were cool.
Okay. So you didn't buy them for the purpose, just that they were cool.
No, wow. I mean, they're great for all kinds of things, not just climbing, but going out and being out to garden in anything.
They're comfortable too?
Yeah, they're very comfortable. And each toe is separate, and they have like the rubber on the bottom, and you can grip anything with these shoes, and
they're
not going
to
fall off your feet. Yeah, they're perfect for water. And so, like I said, I think they should be mandatory for Survivor.
Standard
issue for Survivor. The most perfect shoe for that show ever. And when I saw him wearing them, I was like, oh, my God. That's the most perfect issue you could wear on Survivor.
Yeah.
And it did hold him up on that one challenge that you were talking about where he had to be sort of in a slope and out in the water. It was perfect.
Oh, absolutely.
I just wondered if you noticed those shoes. They are awesome. And,
I did notice them.
I think they should be standard issue.
On that teeter-totter pyramid challenge in the ocean, and I did notice him again last night when he was on that balance beam, that may have helped him a bit, but there was other elements of that competition that, you know, certainly came into play, including the win. I personally haven't said anything, but I have to give props to Tasha. Tasha has been doing awfully good in some of these competitions.
My St. Louis girl.
Yes.
She has got focus. That girl can stay focused in a competition like nobody's business. And she pulled out, this is her second win in a row.
Yep.
And so impressed by her. She could be somebody to keep an eye on.
You don't want to jinx her. I agree. The only thing I haven't seen much of her is strategy. And sometimes that might be a good thing because she's not, you know, making waves.
Well, it's not for her lack of trying. She's tried and had, you know, a hard time getting people to
That's true.
To talk to her. because she's always sort of been on the underdog side. She was just stuck in the wrong team, the poor girl.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
but
who would have,
she's battled
who would have
through
thought,
it all.
Who would have thought after watching the first three or four episodes that there would still be three brains?
Oh, my gosh. I know. When it first started, that brains team was the biggest hot mess ever in Survivor. Just,
I agree.
They couldn't do anything. Anything. So I'm as surprised as anybody that there's still three of them there. But,
okay.
You know, good on them for making it.
I agree. The other thing that was very funny in that episode was Tony, you know, making a comment, a jab at Spencer for, you know, pulling out, you know, using the idol and thinking about using it on Jeremy.
Jeremy, right.
And Morgan, and the camera turns to Morgan in the jury section, and she goes, "Who is Jeremy?" He meant Jeremiah. That was a good moment on that episode.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's been a funny season. It really has. There's
and
been some great moments.
And I have to agree with Ben. I, you know, we always say this about we want a, you know, a whole new cast. We don't want returning people. And I always say that as well. But it was, for a while, at the beginning of the season, I was wondering myself, am I going to, you know, get into this season? And it may have taken a little bit longer, I think, in the seasons where they do have people that we know, you know, that have come back. We already know the type of people they are, and, you know, we don't have to get to learn who they are, you know. We already know them.
Right.
But as the weeks have gone on, I've gotten more and more into this season,
right,
and enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I
we didn't really get to get into Hell's Kitchen or the challenge tonight.
That's what
I really
kind of
wanted
ask.
To talk about the challenge.
I
it
was just
going to
bring that
so
up. Are you
good.
Reading my mind again? Are you reading my mind again, Jerry? Because I was just going to say, of course, I've mentioned it to you before that I don't watch that show. It just, I haven't in the past, and I just don't have the time to add it. But I know how passionate those that watch it and how into it they are. Is it proving to be as good of a season as you were anticipating?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's going to be one of the best ever, and I so wanted to talk about it tonight.
So the dynamic of free agents actually has come into play. It has, you've seen the significance of that twist, if you will.
Oh, it's going to be incredible because they're really mixing it up this year in a lot of different ways. By it being free agent, the way that they determine who goes in to fight for who's going
the
home.
The arena or whatever it's
yeah.
called.
Is basically by draw now.
Oh, wow.
The two people who come in the lowest go in, and then it's randomly selected by draw because it's free agents. They don't have teams, so they don't select. They go up and they flip these like wooden cards over, and if you get, you know, the card with the X on it or whatever, then you're going in for the challenge, and you could be going home. if you lose the challenge. So,
and in the past, if I understand, it was kind of a group vote of who they were, you know, who they would send in.
Right.
Okay.
So you have to be much more on your toes and really be ready to go in and battle when you walk into that arena, because you could be heading home at any one of those. I might try to get a guest for next week to talk about the challenge a little bit, because it is getting really good. And
how many episodes? About three?
Yes, we're in the third episode now. It aired tonight.
Has there been drama in the house already, or has that happened later?
Oh, yes. There's already been drama. It doesn't take 5 minutes for there to be drama when you put all of those people together. I mean, there's been so many, you know, that they've been at together, and then you throw a few new people in. Naya is there.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Doesn't take much to push her buttons, I bet.
Well, I will give a little teaser. I don't know the outcome yet, but I saw that Naya was in the arena tonight, so I don't know how she fared, because the show was going on while we were doing our show.
Okay.
But Naya was in the arena tonight, and I don't
know. The other thing.
I don't know if she got there by being lowest in
last.
The challenge, or if she drew the wrong card.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to watch it and find out.
And speaking of, well, not speaking of, because we didn't bring it up, but a reminder about a brand new show that we're intrigued about, right, tomorrow night. Do you know what I'm speaking of?
No.
Relative Insanity premieres tomorrow night on Lifetime at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central.
Oh, my goodness.
And in the first episode, it's Southern Belles versus City Slickers.
I was the one that found that show and brought it up, and I'd already
forgot. You set your DVR up, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But can you quickly summarize what this is about? Or you don't have it in front of you?
I don't have it in front of me anymore, but basically it puts two families against each other, playing challenges and games. They haven't.
They're like in a house.
I don't know the actual set, but I know that they have two families that are sort of pitted against each other, and they play challenges and games against each other. And one family will come out on top. There is an opt-out button if a family member just can't last or be around their family members any longer. They can opt out.
I remember you telling me that part, and I was laughing, because how many times in our own families have we wish we could hit an opt-out?
I know. So it should be a lot of fun to watch. It is put on by the people who produce Big Brother, and
yep.
We know that they certainly know how to do a reality show well, so Allison Grodner and the bunch are involved in this as well. So we'll see how this one looks, and should be interesting to see. As Paul said, you won't get to be hooked on characters as much because it sounds like each episode will get new families.
Yeah.
But it still sounds like there's going to be a lot of entertainment involved.
I told you it's Southern Belles versus City Slickers next week in episode 2. I just have it's crazy kids versus grumpy grown-ups. So, when I can read a description and think, oh, that's a good pairing, or, you know, but that's grumpy grown-ups. So
sounds
we shall
great.
See if this new one is as good. But
Paul,
yeah.
I have to tell you, I got something, you know, I told you that my mom sold my childhood home. And we were getting things out that we wanted to get out before the sale. And one of the things that I wanted most out of my mom's house was something that had been there since I was a baby. And it was my mom's cedar chest.
Oh, cool.
So I had 2 men in the truck go there and get the things that I wanted and deliver them here to my house on Monday. And the cedar chest has a hidden drawer at the bottom.
Did you know about it?
Oh, yeah. I've known about it.
Oh, okay.
And my mom said there was still some papers in the hidden drawer that she didn't get out, so she wanted me to, you know, get that out of there. And so I was going through the papers that were in this hidden drawer, and there were papers that went all the way back to, like, the 50s, believe it or not. But the cedar chest, I actually found the original paperwork for the cedar chest. It was made in 1958. It has the warranty with it, all of the paperwork with it. And so I was wondering, I wonder what American Pickers or somebody like that would do if they came across a cedar chest from 1958 that still has all the original paperwork.
I don't know.
The flyer that came with it, the original guarantee and warranty in its original envelope. Everything, you know, it has a serial number.
You should get in touch with Dan Kaminsky and pass that information along and see if it is anything.
It has a model number and a serial number. The model number and serial number are on the guarantee and warranty and all that. It's a Lane cedar chest, and I couldn't believe that my mom still had all the original paperwork with it. I was blown away.
Wait a minute. What do you mean? You don't really – that last statement isn't a real statement when you said, I can't believe. From what you've shared with me, I can certainly believe that she kept that.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
But
– my mom,
See, I have a problem thinking of something from 1958 as being that old.
You're kidding me.
I was, 7 years old. That's not that old. Don't you remember when Dan had his pencil dispenser and they labeled it as an antique pencil dispenser? And I kind of bristled when they said it was built about 1951. And I thought, antique? So I'm antique? Oh. The other thing I want to mention before we wrap it up here, Sherry, is I assume that you record every Sunday night Long Island Medium. I want to make sure that you don't forget to record it this coming Sunday night because there's two episodes and one sounds like it's going to be a very memorable one, and I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not. I don't want to spoil anything. But
no, I don't, but I will record it. And I did watch Jared and
yeah, that was kind of okay. I don't know. I don't see that there's an episode 2 scheduled yet. yeah, it was called, it's a new show on A&E of Jared and Brandy from Storage Wars having a show called Married to the Job. It was kind of cute. I'm not sure. I certainly love Buried Treasure.
Buried Treasure.
That is just treasures. That is just hilarious. I love that show. But I'm not sure. I'm hoping that there will be a second episode so I can, you know, have a better sense of how it's going to go. What did you think?
It was interesting. It was okay. I mean,
it was cute.
Yeah. Her coming home and finding a pool in their driveway, and
I loved his mom showing up and saying, "Oh, thank God he took that piece of crap out of my backyard."
I know. Well, if I would have asked him to, he never would have done it.
Yep. Oh, and so, having a birthday month.
Yeah. Now that you know That's not a bad idea, you know. I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, we could share that month of July, Jerry.
Yeah. We could have a birthday month, Paul.
Yeah.
July will just be our month.
That's right. It's Big Brother's month. It's never ours. It's always Big Brother's.
Yeah. That's true. All right. Well, I think we've beaten this one about as far as we can beat it. Fortunately, I don't have any real bad news to share with anybody today, so I want to thank everybody that joined us in our chat room tonight and thank Ben for joining us tonight. And remind everybody to be here with us on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for the Amazing Race Second Pit Stop Show with Team Coal Miner and All-Star Racer Mary Conley and sometimes her husband David, depending on if he can join us or not. He works evening, so sometimes he can join us and sometimes he can't. But Mary is always a blast, and she can bring on some amazing guests, and I know she's got some incredible surprises in store for these final weeks. So I would make sure to be here for these final weeks. She's given me a few little hints and secrets that I can't divulge just yet, but she's going to pull out all the stops for the final weeks.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to that. Mary has lots of contacts. So anyway, I think that's going to do it for tonight. Next week we'll try to touch more on Hell's Kitchen and the challenge, and I might try to get a guest or two to come on and talk with us about a few of those shows. And we'll always talk about any reality shows that you want to talk about. and might try to get Miss Yaya there if she watches True Tory to come on and talk with us about True Tory, if she watches the show before then.
For those listening that were somewhat interested and haven't been watching that, what network and night is that on, Jerry?
That's on Lifetime, and it was on...
last night or tonight?
I believe it was... Oh, gosh. Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
My nights are all running together. It's been such a...
I understand.
A rough few weeks for me. Everything is running together. I've had almost no sleep. Rich had a doctor's appointment this morning. We had to get up at, like, stupid crazy early. And go to cardiologist. No. I wish
even
11 a.m.
Even stupider than that.
Yeah, right. Even stupider than that. For us second shift people, that's early, but it was way stupider than that. we don't get to bed until 5 a.m. So early hours are not my thing.
I understand. I understand.
Well, you don't get there either, and you don't work second shift.
Yeah, it's true.
But you used to.
I did. I absolutely did. Those were my favorite. I had the opportunity to work several different shifts, but my favorite ones were the noon to 10 or 2 to midnight. Always loved those.
Yeah, rescues the day. True Tory on Tuesdays.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, don't you know? Yeah. She's a sweetheart. So if she can catch the episode by next Thursday, maybe I can talk her into joining us and recapping a bit of that next week.
There you go.
Because somehow I get the feeling you're not going to watch, Paul.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
What a heavy sigh.
I know, but see, there's so... I watch a whole bunch of scripted shows. I've told you that before as well. And it's probably 50-50, and it's so hard for me to add more to my already busy TV schedule. So
All right. My
story, and I'm sticking to it.
So much reality, so little time. All right. We're going to knock this one out, call it a day. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate you sharing your time with us. I'm going to close the show with Ron, as I always do. I hope you all have an awesome, awesome weekend. It's springtime, people. Get out and have some fun. Plant something. Enjoy the sun. Just be thankful it's not snowing on us or freezing.
Yeah.
Just have a great weekend. And come back and join us on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and then right back here again with us on Monday for Manic Mondays with Michelle Costa at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central.
Ain't no going back.
With our host, Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10. She is always epic, always has great guests. We'll have Suzette Amaya back for A Slice of Canada and amazing guests to go along with it. So make sure you write that down on your calendar as well. That's it for tonight, folks. We're out of here. I want to close it with Ron. And we'll see you Sunday. Here's Ron to take it away. Good night, y'all.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It was a great one because we had all of you here with us, as always. And our podcast listeners, thank you for listening, too. We love and adore you. That's a wrap for tonight, folks. Take care. God bless. Good night, everyone. Say good night, Paul.
Good night. Good night.
That's a wrap.